Why don't you open up with me in your Bible this morning to the Proverbs? Let's stand together as we read from God's Word. Proverbs 28. One verse, verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Let's pray. Father, help us today to guard our hearts, to give attention to our secret life. Lord, I pray that this day would be a day of forgiveness, a day of restoration, a day of healing, a day of hope, that people would be free from their addictions and from this life pattern of sin and regret and shame, that You would teach us how to give proper attention to the secret part of our life, we ask. Lord, we ask that You give us the strength to be doers of Your Word and not simply hearers only, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Most of us love, let's be honest, most of us love to be part of a secret. If someone begins a conversation with you, now, you can't tell anybody I said this. I mean, our ears perk up a little bit because now we're the insider on something that nobody else is supposed to know about. But that's one of the most dangerous things you can ever say to somebody. Don't tell anybody I told you this. Most people really can't handle your secret. And most people will. Well, I only told my wife. Well, I only told my best friend. But then they only told their spouse. And then they only told their friend. And once you tell it, it goes wherever it's going to go. The reason that somebody has a secret that they were wanting to share with you is usually it's not good news. Every once in a while, hey, don't tell anybody, but you know, in 10 days' time, I have struck such a deal that I'm going to become a billionaire. Normally, I haven't been in on many of those secrets, but I've heard countless heartbreaking, life-altering secrets over the years. Because usually the information shared that you're to keep in confidence is damaging concerning an individual or an organization. Many of us have secrets that we've never shared with anybody because of shame and regret. Things are hidden primarily because of fear and self-preservation. People often go into hiding because they've been hurt, or they've done something, or they're still doing something shameful. Some just run away and hide just because they're just, I don't know a better term for it, they're just burnt out. Life happens, the long grind of life and overcommitment. We live in a day where people have overly committed their time. And at some point, many people break down and they just go into hiding. They go from, you know, 100 miles an hour to zero. They're done. They're finished. You know, the pistons seized up. There wasn't enough oil, or the oil in their crankcase got very, very, very dirty. I mean, they just take no personal time, no personal space, and they seize up and they're done. And they just go away. And after a while, you say, well, what happened to so-and-so? Life. Life happened to them. They did not take care of their secret life. I call this your secret life. What happens in your secret life greatly determines the results, especially the levels of joy and peace of your entire life. My question to you today, is your secret life healthy or is your secret life destructive? Now, when we think about the destructive side of your secret life, we think of darkness. We think of deeds of darkness. Did you ever have a parent, one of your parents, or have you ever said this to your own children, nothing good happens after midnight? The reason that we impose curfews on our children, depending on their ages. You need to be home by 10. You need to be home by 11. You need to be home by 12. Nobody has a curfew after 12 because after 12, you've lost control of the situation anyway, right? So you might as well say, get home whenever you get home. Why do you give them a curfew? Because nothing good ever happens. In the darkness of night, thieves break in and steal in the darkness. Secret texting. Someone you shouldn't be texting. Happens in the cover of darkness. Perusing the internet on sites that should not be viewed. Happen in the cover of darkness and secrecy and shame. Look at John chapter 3, if you will, please. Jesus addressed this, by the way. How many of you know John 3:16? Would you recite it with me, please? For God so... Most Christians know John 3:16. But John 3:17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn anybody. I came so people could be saved from the darkness. But some people choose to stay in darkness rather than come to the light of Jesus. Lest their deeds be exposed. They love the darkness more than the light. I'm talking about your secret life this morning. I'm talking about things you haven't told anybody. Or maybe you told somebody, but I find that usually that somebody is the wrong somebody. You don't talk to somebody that's going to help you out of your darkness. Generally, people, when they do confess to somebody the darkness in their life, they go to somebody that can validate that decision. I wasn't expecting a lot of amens this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. How many of you have listened to me preach enough times to know that there's some redemption coming in the sermon? But not yet. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The proverb said that if you try to hide or conceal your sin, there's no prosperity there. There's no goodness there. It only leads to more ruin. But your salvation comes in confession and exposing that sin in the right context. You know, don't get on Facebook and tell us all what you did. Unwise. Don't really need you to stand up before the whole church. I've had people tell me, you know, I'll just get up in front of the whole church. I said, please don't do that. We don't really need you to do that. Verse 12, for it's even shameful. You know, it's difficult. And you notice I'm kind of skirting around the edges I'm letting your imagination go without talking about actual sins and naming them. It's shameful to even talk about some of this stuff in a public context, but how are we going to deal with it unless somebody addresses it? Because your out of control secret life is destroying you. It's destroying your relationship with God. It's destroying your relationship with your family. It's potentially destroying your health. It's potentially destroying your finances and other relationships. It's destroying your peace and joy. But it's even shameful to even talk about of those things that are done in secret. Verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Verse 14. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. I would if I knew what the word meant. It means carefully. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, debauchery, leads to ruin, but be filled with the Spirit. Rebellion, sin, shame, addiction. I'm going to throw one in that seems like a curveball to you, but self-pity is darkness. Some people have run away and hidden because they feel sorry for themselves, because of what's been done to them, or perceived grievances. And they're wallowing in self-pity, but there's no victory there. There's only more darkness. In your secret life, you feel sorry for yourself, and somehow, by you running away, you really want somebody to come chase after you, but we don't even know what we did. You didn't tell us. So we have to, well, you should know. We don't. Not every thing that happens to you was done maliciously or willfully. Some of it's just negligence. We weren't thinking about you as much as you thought we were. And maybe that's what really hurts. I don't know. But self-pity's not the answer. Jesus said that if you have aught against your brother, go talk to them about it. Running and hiding will not solve it. It will make it worse for you. In your out-of-control secret life, you can run from other people, but you can't hide from yourself. You can run from your actions, but it's going to be hard to hide from their consequences. You can run, but you can't hide from God. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Jonah? David, it's been a while since you've been talking to me, so I sent Nathan to come bring you back. The only way to fix your out-of-control secret life is by establishing a solid, consistent secret life with God. Psalm 32 and verse 5 reads almost exactly like Proverbs that we just read. Psalm 32 verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Which isn't on there, but it is in your Bible. Selah. Think about that for a minute. That's what, have you ever noticed the word Selah in the Psalms? It means just to pause for a moment and reflect on what you just heard, what you just sang, what you just read. The Psalms were to be sung. Think about it. That hiding my sin leads to ruin. But acknowledging my sin, confessing my transgression to the Lord, brings forgiveness. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and let's see what Jesus said about your secret life. Matthew 6, beginning in the first verse. I'm going to read all the way down through this text for 21 verses. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, your giving, before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't talk about it, don't brag about it, just do it. That your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. And when, verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him in this manner. Therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, who in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Now Jesus gave a series of three disciplines that we are to do secretly. Secret place. We are to give, we are to pray, and we are to fast. You know, we do much around here to guard the secrecy of your giving. You know, you don't see plaques. And again, I'm not saying there might be a place for that, memorial gifts and that sort of thing. But Jesus talked about the sanctity of our giving to protect the motivation of our giving, to protect our secret life so that we could do things secretly that would be rewarded openly, that we don't have to seek the attention or the favor of men so that other people say, isn't he a generous person? That's your reward then. That you trust God that what I do in secret, He will take care of openly. He will reward me openly. And so when the ushers come by and all of those envelopes and those checks are dropped into that bucket, two of them walk that back to a secret place that I'm not going to reveal to you, lest there be thieves in the room. We've had the offering stolen before by somebody who now comes to our church and tithes very generously. All right, never mind. He was a teenager. Don't worry about it. Seriously, we've had the offering stolen before. That's exciting. Not really. But they don't look at it. They don't unfold the checks. They don't notice who's done that. That's all just put into a bag. It's zipped. It's locked. It's locked away. And there's basically one person working in a room surrounded by lots of other people with lots of sunlight happening that sees that, that does the reporting. And you know, we get a reporting of the totality of that. We could look at it if we want to. I just never really do because I don't want my relationship with you tainted at all by what you give or don't give. We do a lot to protect the integrity of your giving. Why? Because Jesus said that we should give secretly. We don't do it so that men think we're all that. But we just do it because we know that God who sees in secret will reward us openly. And then he said, when you pray. Now we know there's a public place for praying. I've prayed publicly today. Chad prayed publicly today. We can get together and pray. The church in Jerusalem was praying for Peter when he was arrested and thrown in jail. And they were praying together. They were lifting up their... There's a place for that. But then Jesus said, that's not the only way and that's the only reason. We don't pray just for other people to hear us. But when you pray, the consistent part of your prayer life is something that's done in secret. So I would even guard and protect this a little bit. There's some need in this weird world that we live in today. You know, I've just come out of my time of prayer and the Lord revealed to me and He wanted me to post it for all of you to receive this treasure that I received from the Lord in my secret time of prayer that now is not a secret. See what I'm getting? Jesus said you could guard your heart. You can protect the motivation of your heart by the bulk and the primary part of your praying is just something between you and the Lord. Come on, somebody. And even the fasting. Today would mark the end of our 3 weeks, our 21 days of fasting and prayer. I would dare say that if you were serious about this and that you devoted this actual time and that you denied yourself certain foods or drinks or so forth, that I would dare say that you did hear some things from God, that you did receive some direction from the Lord during this time of fasting and prayer, because that's the way it works. What's done in secret, God rewards openly. It reminds me, you know, our church location in Milan. Now this past football season, we went up to a couple of football games because football is a great big deal in Milan. They're really, really good. They never get beat until about the second or the third round of the playoffs. They go through their entire, you know, seasons undefeated, and then they, you know, they have a hard time making it to that, over that last hurdle because they come against, you know, a lot of these small private big city, you know, schools that do a lot of recruiting, and it's just hard to beat those. We came across that in tennis a lot. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking about all the success that we've had here in Chillicothe in the football program. But you know, Friday night is not really when the football game is won or lost. I said, Friday night's not when the football game is won or lost. That football game is won on Monday afternoons after school. Actually, those football games are won during the summertime, before the season ever really starts. It's what happens when these young people are conditioning their bodies and they're going into the weight room and the skill players are getting together and they're running through pass plays and running plays and that sort of thing. When nobody's watching, when not even a coach can be involved in that and that sort of thing. But what's done in the secret place then is rewarded or exposed on Friday night. Even though it seems like 100 years ago, when I was 17 years old, not quite 100 years ago, I remember all of the things that I did just by myself at the football banquet my junior year after we had won the state championship, which I had almost nothing at all to do with. I was a reserve player. I was a bench player. I was a second string quarterback. I played on the kickoff team, but I did get to do that a lot because we scored a lot of touchdowns and we were 13-0 that year and we won the state championship game 38-0. So, I mean, I got to do that and I got to go in and play some games when the score was already out of control and there was no possible way I could ruin it, you know, with the five plays that I was going to play. But at that football banquet after my junior year, the coach said, now, you know, unless some really hot shot, really talented, really high quality quarterback moves into Chillicothe, Stan will be our quarterback next year. And that was kind of a backhanded compliment. But I took that seriously. And you know, I had 6 or 7 footballs, you know, at my house all the time. And we hung up a tire on a tree branch. And I'm a little vertically challenged to play the position, if you know what I mean. I mean, it would be difficult for me to drop back and see my receivers because everybody in front of me is bigger than me. So for me to be successful at throwing a football and somebody actually catching it, I was going to have to roll out of the pocket where I could get line of sight to be able to throw. And that's what I did all summer in the secret place. I would roll left and I'd throw footballs through that tire. I'd roll right, throw footballs through that tire. I'd back up and throw footballs through that tire. I did that hundreds of times that summer. I got to where I could throw left, I could throw right. I would stand at the end of our very long driveway and I would shoot baskets with the football. I mean, just football after football, just throw and just make baskets from standing at the end of, why? Because I wasn't that skilled. I didn't have the body. I didn't have the speed. I didn't have the arm strength. I didn't have a lot of things. But what we did in the secret place led to success on the football field that next fall. See, what you're doing in the secret place, what you're doing when nobody's watching you is determining the success or the failure of your life. And Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, what you do in secret will be rewarded openly. What I'm saying is you need to develop a very consistent giving, praying, and fasting lifestyle. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father. He gave us this very simple, this very discreet way that we could pray every day. I understand that you work jobs. I understand that you're not a theologian. I understand that you know you get confused on certain really big theological words. But Jesus taught us a way to go into secret and pray, Our Father, just to worship and to adore God. For a few moments, we can remember, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name, righteous is your name, you're my healer, you're my provider. Those are the names of God. You're my shepherd, I shall not want. You're the one who always leads me in triumph. That you can go in and you can enter His gates, the psalmist said in Psalm 100. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. That you have a way to do this. You don't need a lot of instruction. He gave you an outline for prayer. Our Father, give us this day. You know, followed by, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Right? Our Father, Your kingdom come. It's a way that every day, maybe several times a day, you can say, God, I want what You want for my life. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. Lord, I need to know what Your will is so that I can do it. I just want to do Your will today. I want to walk the path that You have for me. And you can pray that every day by just following the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't know about you, but I'm needy. And it's not just financial needs. I mean, whatever you need from God. I mean, you need wisdom. That's your daily bread. Come on, somebody. You need provision. That's your daily bread. You need healing. That's your daily bread. You need to know what to do about your kids. That's your daily bread. Are you following me? Whatever you have need of, Jesus said, we can pray about this. And picking this up, Paul in Philippians said, you don't have to worry about things. You can pray. You can ask God prayers and supplications. That's what this is. Give us this day our daily bread. Are you seeing how easy it is to pray every day if you just know the Lord's Prayer? Forgive. Forgive me my sins. I don't know about you, but my life needs a little maintenance sometimes. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive so-and-so. And I forgive them. Are you following me? It's a way that we can just go through and keep ourselves more. If you just keep sinning in the secret place, and you keep overriding that, again, Paul wrote and says, you can have your conscience seared as with a hot iron, where it doesn't even bother you anymore. But you can take care of that in the secret place by saying, Lord, there's been things in my life, I couldn't tell you how many times I've asked God to forgive me for that. But I'm going to do it again. Come on, somebody. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to ask Him to forgive me again. What's the alternative? To hide from God? To run away from God? No, I'm going to keep running to God. How about you? Forgive. Did I cover them? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive. Lead us not into temptation. There's another chance. Lord, lead me, guide me where I need to go. It's an opportunity for us for leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit, I need You to lead and guide me, to direct my steps so that I can walk on Your path. Slightly different than Your kingdom come, and you can end that time in prayer with Yours is the kingdom, Yours is the power, Yours is the glory forever. Lord, I thank You for what You have done. I thank You, Lord, for what You are doing. Are you seeing how you can use the Lord's Prayer to guard and protect your secret life? Guys, your secret life is determining the success and failure of your entire life. Don't hide from God. Run to God. The psalmist said, Psalm 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And if you read through the rest of that psalm, you'll see that the person who hides in the secret place with God is protected, is delivered, is healed, is provided for, and even given angelic protection, angelic provision. He'll give His angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against the stone. How is your secret life? How's your secret life? If it's in bad shape, there's only one way out. Confession. God's forgiveness. But on the positive side, you can do things proactively. You can give in the secret place. You can pray in the secret place. You can fast in the secret place. Let's have this secret place with God that's healthy and strong. Can you say amen? We love you. God bless you. If you do need prayer, we're going to be up here at the end of the service for you. What's next Sunday? PG Vargas. Don't want to miss.